Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. Reading Rainbow, I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. Reading Rainbow, I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Hey, you see all of these boxes? We're going to use them to build a library. How? By filling them with books. Then we're going to send them to a town that lost its library and needs help restocking its shelves. Of course, it wouldn't be the first time that boxes help someone do a good deed. The boxes in this story did just that. It's based on true events that happened during World War II when a lot of the towns in Europe were devastated by the war. It's called Boxes for Katya.
Boxes for Katya, written by Candace Fleming. Pictures by Stacy Dressen McQueen. Read by Elizabeth Tukey. After the war, there was little left in the tiny Dutch town of Olts. The townspeople lived on cabbages and seed potatoes. They patched and repatched their worn thin clothing, and they went without soap or milk, sugar, or new shoes. One spring morning, when the tulips bloomed thick and bright, postman Klein Hutte pedaled his bicycle down the cobbled street. "I've a box for Katya, a box from America." "America?" explained Katya. "Who would send me a box from America?" "The Children's Aid Society," replied the postman. "Children in America are collecting and mailing many hard-to-find items to the children of Holland." Katya took the box. She rubbed her finger across the block letters that spelled USA. Katya's mama came to stand beside her. "Open it," she urged. Katya pushed back the flaps and pulled out a cake of soap. "What luxury," said mama. "No more bathing with gritty homemade stuff for you." Katya pulled out the next item, a pair of wool socks. "Now that is luxury," said postman Klein Hunta. "Holland has become a sockless country since the war." And then he rolled up his pant leg to show his bare ankle. Katya dipped into the box again. Out came chocolate. Mama sniffed, then sighed. "I have not smelled chocolate in years." Postman Klein Hunta smacked his lips. "I have not tasted chocolate in years." "Neither have I," added Katya. Quick, before she could change her mind, she broke the bar into pieces and passed them around. For several moments, the three savored the almost forgotten taste. Then Postman Klein Hunta pointed. "That box is not empty yet." Katya reached in and pulled out a letter. It read, "Dear Dutch friend, I hope these gifts brighten your day. Your American friend, Rosie Johnson." The postman nodded. "Yeah, Rosie's box brightened my day." "And mine," agreed Mama. "I'm going to tell her," decided Katya. "I'm going to send a letter to Rosie." "Dear American friend, thank you for the soap and the socks, but most of all for the chocolate. Sugar is not found in Holland these days, so anything sweet is precious. My mother and postman Klein Hunta very much enjoyed it too. Your Dutch friend, Katya van Steheron." Weeks passed and summer came, hot and bright. One morning, postman Klein Hunta came pedaling down the street. "She has another one," he hollered. "Katya has another box from America." Everyone gathered around as Katja eagerly opened the second, bigger box. From the box, Katja pulled 4 bags of sugar and a letter from Rosie. Dear Katja, no sugar? Yikes. That's so awful. Mother and I are sending you some. We included some for your postman, too. Your friend, Rosie. Sugar, 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 sang Postman Kleinhunta. And Katja made a decision. There is plenty to share, she said. Later, she wrote to Rosie. Dear friend Rosie, so many sweets. How can I ever thank you? I shared the sugar with our neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Delant. They have 5 children who are skin and bone. With so little food in Holland, it is hard to keep anyone fed. Your gift has surely helped us. Your friend, Katja. Autumn came, rainy and gray. The townspeople of Olds picked the last of their cabbages and potatoes. They lined their old coats with newspaper to keep out the cold air, and they worried about coming winter. They asked each other, how will we survive without good food or warm clothing? How will we live? Weeks passed and winter roared in, snow deep and bitter cold, the worst winter anyone could remember. One dark morning, when Katja felt as frozen as the tulip's bulbs buried beneath the snow, there came a pounding on her door. What a delivery I have for you, whooped the postman. He pulled a sled stacked high with boxes straight into the house. So many, gasped Katja. Ach, but there are more, cried the postman. Squeezing his way through the crowd, he returned with another box-stacked sled, and another, and still another. There was barely enough room for boxes and people as Katja pushed back flaps and pulled out coats, mittens, socks and shoes, scarves, hats and sweaters, cakes of soap, chocolate bars, and bags, cartons, and cans of food. At the bottom of the very last box, there was a letter from Rosie. Dear Katja, you won't believe what's happening here. Everyone, everywhere wants to send a box to you. The school organized a canned food drive. The church organized a clothes drive. Even the local businesses added items to the boxes. We hope there's enough here for all your friends and neighbors. Love, Rosie. For several seconds, the townspeople of Old stood in speechless wonder. Then Katja cried, there is plenty to share. Postman Kleinhunta danced a jig in his new wool socks. Mama wrapped her arms around Katja. You have brought us a miracle. No, replied Katja. Rosie did. Slowly the snow melted and the wind lost its bite. Each day, more and more tulips poked their green tips through the soil, blooming into a sea of pink and yellow, purple and red. One warm morning, Katja said, it would be nice to send a box to Rosie. Yeah, said Mama, but what would you send? Katja smiled as she told her. This is a good idea, said Mama. And so one sunbright morning, Mr. Everett the mailman hurried down Elm Street. I have a box for Rosie, he announced. A box from Holland. Holland, exclaimed Rosie. What could it be? Eagerly, she ripped off the wrapping and pulled back the flaps. So many, gasped her mother. Then Rosie read the letter. Dear Rosie, we hope these tulip bulbs from Olst will brighten Mayfield's days, plant them in the fall, and wait for a surprise in the spring. Love, Katja.
You know, as long as there have been boxes, people have used them to send care packages. And not only during times of war, but also when natural disasters strike. When a hurricane named Katrina struck the southern United States, people from all over the world sent boxes of food and clothes. But one group in particular, called Children for Children, had a different idea of what to send. They designed boxes especially for kids.
When Hurricane Katrina stormed through New Orleans and other areas in the South, high winds and flooding devastated the area. Many families lost their homes and had to rebuild their lives. Children for Children in New York City decided to help out, one group of kids to another.
We are aware of other people around us, and if they have problems, then we should care about their well-being.
Thank you so much for coming out to volunteer today. How many of you guys know what volunteering is?
It's helping people so that you give something to them and it makes you feel better.
I think that is a perfect definition of volunteering. Okay, great guys, so let's get started.
They came up with a very different idea. They called it Backyards in a Box.
We were making backyards in a box, which means that we were designing boxes and then we were putting all these different things for the Hurricane Katrina victims.
They will fill the boxes with all kinds of stuff that kids can use in their rebuilt backyards.
If I had been affected by Hurricane Katrina and all of a sudden I got a big sparkly cheery box filled with toys and things and flowers and things, I'd be really happy. I'd feel good and know that there are still people out there that care.
To make the boxes cheerful, they decorate each box with artwork and a message that the kids come up with themselves.
Are you guys gonna write any messages on here?
Yeah, we did. Happiness comes to one in need. Like, if someone needs something, they always keep their spirit up.
I'm making a roller coaster because sometimes your life can have up and downs. Like, bad things can happen, which is the downs, and then something can help to make it better.
I think that's great. I think this is gonna be an up. Are you gonna write a message on there too?
Yeah. We're not meeting them face to face, but we're meeting them by, like, what we just wrote. I think this is going to make kids feel much happier. Like, they're going to forget about their worries or problems.
Wonderful. Well done. You are such an artist.
Thank you.
I really like thinking about the people, and I like the boxes that we're making because we're giving something to the people in New Orleans. And even though they don't know us, the boxes are just like a piece of us.
Now that the boxes are decorated, they're ready to be filled.
The boxes look amazing.
The items that will go inside the box have all been donated to the project. These supplies were acquired by a special committee of kids who thought up the project and asked for donations.
My name is Christina Hu, and I'm calling on behalf of Children for Children.
And we're going to have a project called Backyard in a Box.
I was wondering if perhaps you would be interested in donating some goods.
If they make plenty of phone calls and write enough letters, they'll find a business willing to donate to their project.
You guys sound like you're doing a really great thing. If you come by later today, we can help you out, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's exciting. Good work.
After a yes like that, the kids rush down to the store to pick up the supplies.
Okay, there's the garden stuff.
We went to the hardware store and we picked up gardening tools.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's soil.
They also said they would give us some things on discount, so we also bought some other items.
Perfect. Looks like they have some balls and frisbees.
Okay, these are lightweight. These will be good for mailing.
And I was really happy that they were so generous to donate those things.
Now that they've gathered all the donations, the kids are ready to fill the decorated boxes.
And the turtle. Oh, the turtle.
There you go.
We let them know that we care, that there's somebody out there to help them.
Dark nights always lead to a bright dawn. I love that. So your boxes look amazing. Now what we're gonna do, guys, is we're gonna come around assembly line style, and you're gonna put put one or two of each item into your box.
This is where all their work comes together.
All right, so you want a kite for your box?
They'll package the much-needed supplies with a lot of love.
All right, nothing.
It brings joy to me to see that me, myself, and other people around me are putting a smile on other people's faces around the country.
Bubbles and Play-Doh.
It might be kind of confusing for someone, like, to know that you're giving something to someone but not getting something back, but you actually are getting something back. The feeling of knowing that you're helping someone, yeah, I think that's more worth it.
Volunteering is a great way to, like, make you feel good and the other person that you're helping. It's like you're not only helping yourself, you're helping the whole wide world.
It makes me feel special to know that I can make a difference in the world.
I think a lot more of this should be done because our world's not perfect. The more good things you put into it, the better it'll get.
Often, when we volunteer on a project, we don't get the chance to meet the people that we help, especially if they live far away. But these days, that's changing because of technology. Thanks to video and the internet, we can reach across the globe in a second. Technology is like a bridge that connects us to everyone and makes us aware of the ways we can help.
Hi, guys.
Come on in.
Set up your beds, okay?
This is the media room at Eastview Middle School. Tonight, these kids are setting up for an overnight video conference. Their group is called Global Ambassadors.
Global Ambassadors. It's an ambassador program at Eastview. We do video conferences with international schools all around the world, and we learn about different cultures from different places.
Their mission is to use technology to meet people from other cultures, discover new things about them, and find ways to help.
We're interacting with kids, and not only kids, adults, and because we're interacting with them, we're helping them, and they're helping us.
Put all this stuff back over here.
Miss Kennedy is the Global Ambassador's moderator.
In our school, we have a camera, and that camera is connecting through the internet to another school that has a camera. And so we call each other up with a remote control, and poof, we're wherever we called, just like a telephone.
First, we're going to Mexico, and I'm going to meet a bunch of people who I probably will never meet.
They get really excited about just meeting other kids their age in another country. They're very curious about them.
They tell us a lot different things, and then I'm like, wow, I actually talked to, like, Australia or Senegal or something.
Just a few final adjustments of the video equipment, and the kids are face-to-face with students in Mexico.
Hi, guys, wait. It's 7:30 here, and we're going to be conferencing all night long. So you're our first one.
We go video conferencing, like there's a screen, and we just talk, and then they can hear us. Feels like we're there, yeah.
So if we can spend some time talking to you and have the kids ask questions back and forth, that would be really great.
We get to ask them questions about their culture, language, and their school.
We have a question here.
What types of things do you, like, do on the weekend for fun?
Sometimes I go to the club.
The sports club?
When we talk to them, like, from kid to kid, it's, like, similar, because, like, we think the same things and we do the same things. They're just little things that are very different.
On the weekends, we really like to go shopping. No. And play a lot of sports.
No.
They're very surprised at how much they have in common with other young people. So much of what the other kids care about, music, clothing, you know, how do you pass your time on the weekends, all of those things are you know, the same wherever they go.
This is a bilingual school, and so from the time when they were six, they had one whole year of English all day, and they take subjects in English, and then they take other subjects in Spanish.
We'd like to know if any of the students from Mexico have a question for any of the students from White Plains.
How many hours do you spend studying Spanish?
40 minutes a day.
Okay.
I just study every day?
Yes, a day.
Every day.
It depends on the school that you go to. Some schools don't start.
I think I learned a lot from it, like about myself and other people.
We would like to talk to you also a little bit about a project that we've been working on, Global Run.
We partnered up with a company and we started running miles. And for every mile that we ran, they gave us $1 for a charity. And all of the money we raised was for a school in Kenya.
It meant so much because we were able to connect to that school in Kenya. We saw pictures of them, and our students really saw how they could make a difference.
Their roof got broken, and that was their supply of water. So whenever it rained, that's how they collected water. So we raised money to build them a new roof.
Okay, thank you, because that will be something we would be interested in doing also, to talk to people in other parts of the
world. Not some people that everybody gets this opportunity to do this. You don't need a thank you. We already know we did something good, and it's just a good feeling.
It makes me feel good to know that, like, we're doing something good for the world.
I think we're going to go ahead and cut off here. Our students are not spending the night, but this has been a wonderful experience. We thank you so much for including us in this.
Thank you.
And we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
After they disconnect with Mexico, it's time to camp out in the media room.
We have about 4 hours until we go to Mozambique. Okay, so 2 minutes, we're gonna shut the lights. Turn off the lights.
Who's this one? I like my
name. Oh, I can't believe it.
They will sleep until 2 a.m. when they'll be awakened for the next conference. These ambassadors will be internet globe hopping for the rest of the night.
Well, we can't send the box without these three books. Each one tells a story of someone who helped out others because they knew in their heart it was the right thing to do. They're all based on true life experiences, and each show how one act of kindness can make a difference in the world. But you don't have to take my word for it.
My name is Madison. I just picked a book out from my collection called Luba, The Angel of Bergen-Belsen. It's about a lady named Luba who finds many children who are captured along with her during the Holocaust. The Holocaust was a time when many families were captured and brought to concentration camps by the Nazis. Luba was a hero because she saved kids' lives. She realizes that the kids haven't eaten in days. So she goes out and finds food for them. Luba inspired me because she showed me that she didn't give up, even though her husband and her child was captured. She believed in herself and saved many other lives along with her own. This book is a true story. All of these events happened in real life. I think books like this are important because they teach you things that happened before you were born, things that weren't that good, and things that could be good. I'm Madison. And I'm hoping you'll read the book, Luba, The Angel of Bergen-Belsen.
I'm Tadriana, and I just read a book called The Librarian of Basra.
This book is about a woman,
Librarian of Basra,
who's in Iraq and there's a war going on. The librarian was really worried that her books will get destroyed from all the fighting and all the war.
The government said that she couldn't move her library, but she refused and she moved it.
And then her library got burnt down.
But they still had a library at her house and at her friends' houses. This is a great book, and I am recommending this book to you.
I'm Harrison, and I just finished The Lady in the Box, and I think it's a great book. It's all about a boy and his sister that meet a homeless person on the street. But their mother does not want them talking to strangers. The homeless person, he was in front of a store that from the basement had hot air coming through. But the storekeeper got complaints about her standing in front, so she got kicked out of her spot. And then the two kids came back with their mother, and they talked to the storekeeper, and the storekeeper decided that the lady could get back her spot in front of the heater. I think the kids in the stories are heroes because they helped her, and she felt very good that winter. If you were looking for a good book to read, you should put this one on your reading list.
Dear readers, hope you enjoy these books. We're glad that we could share them. Happy reading from LeVar and your friends at Reading Rainbow. Well, this box is now packed and ready to ship along with the others. And you know what? I feel great knowing that soon they'll be on their way to do some good. You know, it's just not possible for one person alone to fix the world's problems and take away poverty and suffering and war. But if enough of us reach out and help someone else and change things just a little bit, I know we can make our world a better place. I'll see you next time.
Take a look, it's in a book, a Reading Rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, Reading Rainbow, Reading Rainbow.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Boxes for Katya by Candace Fleming, illustrated by Stacy Drezen McQueen, published by Melanie Krupa Books, Farrar, Strauss, and Giraud, New York. Luba, as told to Michelle R. McCann by Luba Trzezinska Frederick, illustrated by Ann Marshall, published by Tricycle Press. The Lady in the Box by Anne McGovern, illustrated by Marnie Backer, published by Turtle Books. Librarian of Basra, written and illustrated by Jeanette Winter, published by Harcourt Incorporated.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton. In uncertain times, there's no more effective way to make your kids feel good and safe than to spend time with them. We at Reading Rainbow suggest sharing a book with your family. Read for fun, read for family, read for our future.